And now, it's Adam and Joe.
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between. And then eventually the whole thing will just end.
Ray Charles there with the Blues Brothers.
You've got to be careful if you're in bed or you've just got up and you've attempted to try twisting or shaking your tail feather.
You can do the boogaloo and the mashed
slowly,
potato.
Slowly, do a slow boogaloo.
Yeah.
Or gently mash some potato.
But what about the bony maroni?
Don't do that. That's very medically dangerous before noon, just because of atmospheric pressure and moisture in the atmosphere.
Sure, it could lead to rickets.
It can lead to Donald Ricketts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Trevor Rickles. That's good, though. You can't argue with that track. Try arguing with that track.
Oi! Track! You're rubbish!
Oh, man, you got straight into it there. But it's no good. The track's not responding.
It's just resonating
because
in a big empty room.
Because you can't argue with that track, the genius of the track. I mean, that is the definitive version of that track right there.
Yeah, the Blues Brothers soundtrack album, that's where most people will have heard that off of, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a kind of sort of catch-all fashionable purchase, isn't it, for young people, when we were young people.
It's like a soul primer, isn't it?
It's like buying the Rocky Horror Show soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
or the Best of the Doors.
It's better than that. It's better than
you're
Rocky
right.
Horror.
Yeah, you're right. I never did buy that.
You know, we never went through a Rocky Horror phase, did we?
No, but we went through a Blues Brothers phase.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very simple look to pull off.
That's right, a little skinny tie there. You and I were fair, you know, we're a fair approximation of Aykroyd and...
That's true, actually.
Belushi, when we're in our black suits and skinny ties. But that's good. It's not a patch on Blues Brothers 2000, of course.
No, of course. I mean, who can put a patch on Blues Brothers 2000?
Patch Adams.
Impossible to patch it up.
Patch Adams,
it's unpatchable. Could he?
Yeah, until you came along and like brought him down, he could.
Sorry.
Probably.
Yeah, it's true.
So, listeners, welcome. My name's Adam.
My name's Joe. Welcome to our Saturday morning show. We hope you're having a nice morning so far.
Yeah, you've ruined it now, haven't you?
No, I thought it was good.
The way you said
people like that. People like that kind of thing.
Yeah, they do.
Bye.
See you, bye. Take care.
Here's another record. We've got lots of stuff coming up. We'll tell you about it in a second. But here's the latest hot shirtless band.
MGMT. This is Kids. The Bendy Men from MGMT with Kids. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's a nice Saturday morning. You hate talking about the weather, Joe, don't you? But
I find it banal.
Find it banal.
And it's not something we can control, so what's the point?
Yeah.
I find you banal.
That's
you're not something I can control.
That's the
so what's the
logical
point
extension
of
your attitude, isn't it?
That's
you
not true.
Think I'm banal.
It's not true.
I'm fascinated by the weather. What do you mean, what's the point of talking about things you can't control? You can't, I mean, that's life.
That's the entire point, isn't it?
Exactly.
What better things to talk about? To try and deal with them.
Well, I suppose. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to get, let's talk about the weather, though. It's going to get nippy. It's going to be a cold snap. Yeah, this week.
Because, you see, this is the thing. You don't like talking about it, but you're quite well-informed.
Yeah.
I look to you for my weather guidance.
Well, there you go. That's the weather report this week. Is there's going to be a... We should do a sort of funk... No, but someone's done that already, haven't they?
What, a funky weather report?
Yeah, let's just move beyond that. It's going to be nippy.
Yeah.
Mm.
A little bit of nips.
But bright.
Nips. Yeah, nippy but bright. That's
I don't
my favourite
that
weather.
That's true. I'm just making it up.
Are you?
Because you're the kind of person that responds well to that kind of baseless optimism.
That's true. Speaking of optimism and nice things and people, I was listening to the diaries of Michael Palin on audiobook because I can't actually read. So I prefer the audiobook. Mm. No, it's nice to listen to while you're cycling or on the train or whatever.
Mm.
And it was recommended to me by a few people. What an enjoyable way to spend 4.5 hours or whatever in various little chunks. He's a national treasure, obviously, Palin.
Obviously. He's national treasure too.
Yeah, he is. Who's national treasure one? Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and he's one of the, notoriously one of the nicest men and probably one of the nicest guys in the Python gang. And, man, he has got anecdotes coming out of every orifice there and no one can beat Palin for name dropping. He drops the biggest names in the entire world in those diaries there. So I had a little wind going down one of the wrong pipes in my throat.
It's okay.
Well, I'm sorry about that. It was a luxury. I don't have anything specific to say about the diaries. I'm just saying it by way of an introduction to this next track, which I'm going to play, the first free play. And it sort of sent me back to Python's best stuff and listening to some of their albums. And I forgot how prescient a couple of their tunes were, especially this one. you know, for a world that's falling apart. This was written sometime in the early 70s, I think, and it's called I'm So Worried. Check it out. It's the Pythons.
Desmond Dekker with 007, open bracket, shantytown, close brackets. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on a Saturday morning. Now, last week, of course, and this pertains to that track, we had Sir Roger Moore in the studio, and I had a kind of a breakdown on air. I was unable to speak, and we were just discussing here that, to the consternation of some listeners, my breakdown was...
snipped.
You know, I'm pleased about this. It was snipped from the podcast.
Yeah.
So the interview, as it appeared on the podcast, was super smooth.
Wow.
Unemotionally traumatised. Yeah, that's not really true, is it? It was just slightly more competent than it actually was on the air when it actually sort of was sucked into negative space by a kind of mental implosion on my part. And I was fine at the beginning of the interview, as I think I discussed at the end of the podcast. Mm. Roger came into a... Sir Roger, mm-hmm. It's happening again. He came into the, you know, what would you call that room out there? The antechamber.
The holding room, the atrium.
The decompression chamber. Yeah. And we went out and talked to him, and it was all fine.
Yeah.
I thought this is going to be fine. But then it was only when he came and sat next to me and then turned and looked at me.
And then said your name.
And that was it, wasn't it? He said, well, Joe. That was it. It was too much. I collapsed and folded. Now, I was embarrassed, and I thought, you know, I'm a hardy perennial, a seasoned professional.
Yeah.
I can't.
Plus, you have met a lot of famous people. Like, yeah. In your LA jaunts, you bump into some A-listers
sure,
out there.
Sure, sure.
And you don't do that.
Not usually on live radio.
Right, right.
And not someone like the Dodger.
Yeah.
It made me realise how key the Dodger is to my brain, mm-hmm. to the evolution of my mind.
In somewhere deep inside cornballs, you are...
I just couldn't handle
007.
It. But luckily, my lady partner friend, who I live with, said she thought it was sweet.
Yeah, I think that was, no one was cursing you.
I felt professionally vilified, self-vilified.
Really?
Can you vilify yourself?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've done it.
I make a habit of it.
Well, you were, you know, quite honest in saying that you were a tiny bit... I mean, you doved in there brilliantly.
David-ed in
to rescue me. And you had a little bit of a nerviness there, mate, as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Didn't you?
Well, it was partly inspired by the fact it's like, oh, just stop talking. I thought he was going to do the talking for a little
silent.
Bit.
You're not supposed to do that on the radio, are you?
Dead air.
But sometimes, every now and then, used with modestly, a modicum of car crash, or at least cars just clipping each other at high speed on the motorway,
prank.
Can keep a show on its toes.
Radio prank.
Can't it?
Maybe that should be the name of this show.
So the conclusion of this segment is, well done me.
Well done you, and maybe...
Well, what a really good interview, because it wasn't boring,
no,
it was gripping.
Exactly.
Possibly a bit cringy, but cringy's very fashionable. Look at Ricky Gervais, John
look
Cleese in Fawlty Towers.
Yeah.
I'm just big on the cringe. I love the cringe. I love social embarrassment.
Mm.
I love it when people find things uncomfortable, like
yes.
in The Office.
Kevin and Stacey.
That's the fashionable thing to say,
thing.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
So I'm just part of that fashion.
Well done.
Thanks.
We might include that drying moment on the podcast as a little hidden track this week.
I might have to listen to it first.
Yeah. No,
see
it's
how painful
fine.
It is.
Absolutely fine.
It's fine.
So, listeners, you know, we played some Monty Python there a couple of tracks back. Did you enjoy that one, Joe?
I enjoyed that very much. Slightly stealing the thunder of this week's Song Wars. We do have a new Song Wars this week, so to play a really very good comedy song.
I know
it is. You're right. Sorry to steamroll you as usual, but it is amazingly prescient.
Prescient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an amazing precedent.
I'm not sure exactly when in the 70s it was. I guess it was mid to late 70s, perhaps. And that was Terry
Jones.
That
is exactly when it was
singing.
Mid to late,
perhaps.
Precisely where it was. When it was.
With the perhaps.
It's exactly the correct date.
With the Kings of Facts. I think our new Song Wars songs we will unveil after the news at some point in the next half hour. Scary songs they are.
Oh, they're spooky.
Ooh. Mm. And we're going to talk
Let's
about
just
those.
Say they're mine's just disturbing.
Yeah. Mine.
Does that count?
Yeah, it does count. But so let's have some more music right now. This is the French band Air.
Yeah.
They're from France. Have you been there to France?
Yes, it is very sexy.
Oh, it is too sexy. This is a song about it.
It's Right Said Fred with I'm Too Sexy.
Sexy boy.
Air. with Sexy Boy.
That song was actually written about me.
Was it really?
Mm.
When?
Last week, actually, it was as big a surprise to me as it is to you, because it's been out for a few years.
I'd love it. What song was written for me?
I can't answer that. Everything that pops into mind is too just insulting.
What's your favourite smell?
You.
I smelt a lady this week, she was wearing...
Hold your horses. What sort of a sentence is that?
For a
breakfast programme.
She swafted past me.
Right.
She wafted.
Right.
And it was at the train station, and she'd done a waft past me and then sat down on the bench next to me. And she smelt strongly of... I think she was wearing perfume, but the perfume smelt to me of sheep dip. Have you ever smelt sheep dip before? It's a curiously sweet smell. I don't know if they still use the same brand of sheep dip that I remember from when I used to live in Wales.
When you used to be dipped.
Country, yeah, when they used to dip me.
Sean.
But she smelt very much of sheep dip. And I was really tempted to ask her what the perfume was, so I would
Kerry,
be able to say.
Kerry Katona's new one.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
Hear it's out in a couple of days. Oh, maybe she had a preview squirt.
Hey, you can't...
in Debenhams.
That's true. Yeah, that would be what Katona's... Easy. She's ill.
That's true.
She's a young woman. She needs our sympathy and support, not our derision. But no, sheep dip. It was sheep dip. And I really wanted to ask her. But I thought if I ask her what the perfume is, I'm going to get stuck in a weird little conversation. She's going to think I'm coming on to her.
She think you're hitting on her.
Yeah. Mm. Whereas actually what I want to communicate is your perfume is revolting and it's choking up my nasal passages. And I want to know exactly what it is so I can avoid it for the rest of my life. But it is, it's no good. What's the worst smell you can think of, Joe?
Oh, stink bombs? I don't know. Worst smell? Oh, I really object to yeast.
Yeast?
Yeah, around a brewery.
Right.
There's a brewery in Wandsworth, and the whole area, it's got a weird stench. It disagrees with me.
I know what
Not
you mean.
Not beer itself, but the smell of a brewery, the intense smell of yeast.
Yeast is nasty. I mean, creepy. For lots of reasons, it's there's something nasty about yeast. A field of rape is not an enjoyable smell. That yellow, stinky field that you go past every now and again.
Mm.
I mean, that's no fun.
Extraordinary sentence.
Also, the worst of them all, though, is dog poo, isn't it?
Yes. Well, God made it that way, didn't he?
To avoid.
Yeah, so you have to pick it up and pop it in the bin.
Absolutely. Unless you're a toddler. A friend of mine, her toddler picked up a dog poo and popped it in his mouth.
No!
Yes.
Was it a dried one?
No!
Oh, dear.
Had the consistency of chocolate mousse.
That's certainly what was going through the toddler's brain.
I found some chocolate mousse. I found it on the wheel of a bicycle. And he popped it in his gob. And she was absolutely appalled, as you would be. But they're toddlers. They love doing that kind of thing, you know, and they're just experimenting with the world. She raced. They were in the park and she raced to the public toilets there and kind of rinsed his mouth out with water from the taps that said, do not drink. But she thought, well, this is the lesser of two evils, surely. Got to rinse the chocolate mousse out of the little chap's mouth. I mean, that's no good,
How did
it?
The chap respond? Was he chomping away? Or?
He was up for it.
Really?
Yeah, he was going back for
There's
more.
There is a gap in the market there. If we put it in a pot, give it a fun name, invent some characters to promote it, you could call it Plops.
Chuck Pops.
The kids would love it. Pops. Here's the news, read by Harvey and Georgie.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
Check it out.
Yes, it's Song Wars time, listeners. A brand new Song Wars. And this week's theme is spookiness, scariness, sort of Halloween-based. Halloween coming up this Friday, so we'll be playing the winning song the day after Halloween, coating the entire week with a thick layer of evil.
Is the day after Halloween just Hallow?
Yes.
Okay. But, you know, it's not like, you know, you got Christmas Eve and then you got Christmas Day, right? So
yeah.
Halloween is the evening of the Hallows?
Yeah, Halloween is just menacing. Then on the following day, you do the full-on killing.
Do you know what the origin of Halloween is?
It's not right to say that.
No, it's not. I'm ignoring it.
To say
I was moving on.
In a fictional universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the question?
What is the point of Halloween?
It's a celebration. It's a pagan celebration of evil and killing.
I'm really glad I asked.
No, yeah, that's the answer. No, yeah.
No, yeah. So how did you get on with your song, man?
I got on. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say much about it. It's certainly odd. I think it's lyrically quite tricky to hear, but then ghosts are quite hard to understand sometimes. Anyone who's watched Most Haunted or anything will know how tricky the supernatural can be. It's very hard to control. It's very hard to predict when supernatural things will happen.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about my song. I'm making excuses for it.
God.
In my song, some of it's actually sung by a ghost,
right,
is what I'm saying. So
you should have. Well, I did, right, because my song was just ludicrous, and it is hard to hear what the lyrics are. So I have got the lyrics on the Six Music website.
Have you?
Yeah. I sorted it out.
I'm not kowtowing to my audience in that way. I'm not pandering to them.
So listeners, if you want to check the lyrics of my track when you hear it, you can go to the Six Music website and click on the Adam and Joe bit and they should be there. But let's toss a coin and find out
All
who's
right.
going to go first. What are you calling, man? You just looked at the
Yeah, I'm just seeing what the coin is
first.
In the habit of doing, right? It's mainly... No. I'm just seeing how it's balanced.
Right, how's it
Tossing
going so
it a
far?
Few times to warm it
Darren
up.
Darren Brown.
It's mainly heads.
Mainly heads, is it? So do you want to go...
I don't really know. Let's I'm going to go tails, because I'm different.
Tails to go first.
If it's tails, I go first. It's tails.
Okay, then.
I go first. Here's my song. It's called Hello, Mr. Ghost, and I really apologise.
This song is designed to be heard by ghosts. It's got the ultrasonic noise.
Song and it will actually summon ghosts if you play it late at night or at the right time.
Have you got a vocoder there or something?
No, it's just the mouse voice
function
on GarageBand.
Nicely used.
Thanks. And a bit of helium as well.
Good. And where are you getting your spooky wobbly noise up
Chaos Oscillator, mate.
Chaos.
The Chaos Oscillator. Best £100 I ever spent, mate.
Cornish's secret weapon. That's brilliant.
Dust off the Chaos Oscillator. Anyway, so that's song number one, Joe's song, Hello, Mr. Ghost. We continue our spooky song wars with song number two. Adam, tell us a little bit about it, please.
Well, I started off trying to write a Euro house song.
Who wouldn't?
You know,
I mean, it's the obvious way to go.
Well, I was thinking of like early Prodigy, you know, like really fast.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I'm so scared. It was all like that, right? And then it just fell apart. Like for a whole day, I was digging it and like playing all the riffs, and I was really getting into it. I was thinking, this is amazing. I'm the king. And then I woke up the next day and listened to it. It was a disgrace. Yeah. Have you ever had that?
Yes.
It's weird. Like, some days you wake up and you look at things afresh and you think, hey, that's not half bad.
I have that attitude to just life in general.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. Oh, this is awful.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, the world. Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, God, I'm still alive.
It's true.
Anyway, it was a load of old bullows, so I had to pop it in the bin. But what I've come up with is not necessarily better, because I started it, had to restart yesterday afternoon, didn't finish until 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, it's exhausting just listening to the process.
Exactly. Anyway, this is a jazzy song, and it's written from the point of view of a kind of you know, serial killer man and from Silence of the Lambs type thing.
It's sounding very
Buffalo
promising.
Bill. Well, you remember that we did a thing on our show years ago about nutty rooms, right?
Yes.
Serial killer nutty rooms in films like Silence of the Lambs and Copycat. Yep. Was another one. And
they've always got their little demented headquarters.
The serial killer's lair, and it's always like got weird stuff on the walls and things in jars.
So you've recycled all that stuff.
I've recycled it. And if you want to check out the lyrics, as I say, they might be a little hard to decipher. They should be on the Six Music website.
Them.
You're on iPlayer, though, you loon. Go to the website,
all right.
The Six Music website. And this is called Nutty Room.
Nutty, I am a nutty man. I'm sitting in my nutty room. Rather cutting some bits of human skin to make it to a big cocoon. It's a clue for the cops, and I'm pulling out the stops, because I am a complicated loon. Look at the jars, look at the jars, look at the things inside the jars. I put some fingers there, some hair, and several winkies. Look at the walls, totally covered in crazy scrawls. And from time to time I add a couple of stinkies. I love the smell and the gloom of my crazy nutty room. Come on over for some nibbles and some drinkies. It's so wonderful to meet you if you come. Welcome to my nutty lair. Careful of the pit, mind the pile of shit. Have a seat on the bed of human hair. I hope you like injections and butterfly collections and the work of the performer Leo Sayer. Crazy, have you ever seen a person who was so completely nuts? Lazy, oh no, I'm always working, making clothing out of other people's guts. Patrick Swayze.
That's just a song about you at home in your so-called studio.
The thought did occur to me.
It's not spooky in any way. It's just autobiographical.
Yeah, but that's spooky, man.
That is spooky. That's the scariest thing of all.
Come around to my nut.
That's very good. I particularly like the you know, the lunatic howlings as a kind of scat interlude.
Yeah, yeah.
That worked very well. So there you go. There are this week's two competing songs. Song number one, Hello Mr. Ghost, and song number two, Nutty Room.
Nutty Room.
Yeah, and I have now found the lyrics to the Nutty Room there on the BBC Six Music website, and yes, there they are. Confirmed. Sighting confirmed.
We might.
Of rows of words. So do email your votes. If you're listening to listen again, or you're listening now, email the votes, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk, and vote for either Adam with Nutty Room or Joe with Hello Mr. Ghost, and we'll play those songs again in the last 20 minutes of the show, about 20 to 12.
So there's something to look forward to. I thought I'd say it in that voice. Here's Jack White with Another Way to Die. Jack White with Another Way to Die.
And Alicia Keys.
And Alicia, one never says
it's
Alicia.
It's a duet.
Is it? Always just says Jack White on our little computer.
Well, that's
screen.
Very sexist.
It's very sexy. Mm. Why are they looking all filthy? I mean, I know they've just been exploded on the cover, on the poster there for Another Way to Die. Not Another Way to Die, Quantum of Solace. They're emerging from an explosion, right? So they're smeared with smut.
The woman standing next to Craig Fairbrass in the poster for Quantum of Solace is one of the most attractive women I've ever seen in my life.
She was in the...
I'm attracted towards buses that she's on. It's becoming dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the... she was in some period adaptation thing on telly recently. Mm. Oh, I forget what it was. It was maybe Tessa the D'Urbervilles.
Mm, that's always a good one.
You didn't see her in that?
No.
She was nice in it.
Yeah, it looks like a good movie. Some of the reviews have been a little bit iffy.
Oh, really?
A little bit squishy.
Iffy and sniffy.
Yeah, iffy and sniffy. my two favourite kids cartoon characters. But I'm really excited.
They would be good, wouldn't they? Like little reviewers.
Iffy and sniffy, they're very pompous children.
Pompous little mice, though, or something.
Mice.
Like you know?
Mm, yeah.
And they review things. This is good, man.
This is good. This is your fortune.
I'm going to actually
Jerry Halliwell
that
can
idea.
Do it. If David Walliams can do it.
Have you read Walliams' book yet?
No.
I flicked through it. He's got illustrations by Quentin Blake.
I know.
I mean, that is... Quentin Blake, he's a ledge.
Quentin Blake will do anything for the right money.
You reckon?
Yeah, credit crunch. There's no rules anymore.
That's true, isn't it? I was speaking to someone this week who said, in a year's time, it's going to be a barter economy.
Right.
Right? Everyone's
right.
just going to be...
Like Mad Max.
Yeah, it's going to be haggling and stuff and people with crazy hairstyles and riding around in souped-up cars, you know, and everything.
Battling for fuel.
Rusty, yeah.
That's exciting.
That's what it's going to be like. And everyone will just talk with an Australian accent.
There's going to be severed heads on people's front porches.
Right.
Just to ward off invaders.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to go Viking.
And the children are going to use their own special kind of language.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the... Look, it's the bang stick. The man over there has got a bang stick.
You know what? They do that already?
I was just thinking.
Yeah.
It's going to be the
it's
same.
It's already happened. We're inches away from it. That's something to look forward to. A kind of awful, futuristic, post-apocalyptic nightmare world.
Where everyone's Australian.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Thanks, Al Gore.
Thanks a lot.
What have you got here for us, Joe, free play-wise?
This is a free play. This is by a band called The National... They're very exciting right now. This is their second album, I think. They're a New York-based set. And you know what? I've forgotten the name of this track, but I've just remembered it again. It's Fake Empire by The National.
Good effort there from Gorillaz. Damon Albarn. Oh, God, I've got to stop calling him Damon. I'm sounding like my dad calling him Damon Albarn, for goodness sake. That was a Radio 1 session from the 20th of March, 2003. And, you know, they really pulled it out of the bag there. Sometimes the sessions... They can be a little ropey, a little disappointing, not a patch on the album. But they really brought something new to the party there, I think. Joe?
I can only agree with every word you say, and I thoroughly endorse you to be the President of America.
Thank you very much. Hey, when do we find out about the President of America?
Is it November the 4th? It's very soon. Is it November the 4th, the American election? Yes, it is.
That is soon, man.
It's exciting. And you know what? Apparently... If Barack Obama wins, mm-hmm. the world will be saved from the precipice of doom.
Yeah.
The precipice of doom. If he loses, we will be plunged into a Stygian nightmare
mm-hmm.
of apocalyptic doom, similar to that which you outlined in the previous link. It's as simple as that.
Right.
The world has spiraled into a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy of doom.
Now, this is just your opinion, isn't it?
No, this is actually true. That's the thing. That's the twist.
Yeah.
But that's what it feels like, don't you think?
It does a little bit.
It feels like the world needs just a... It needs like a sort of a boost, some sort of a warm slimming drink that'll give it the lift it needs.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama.
A slim fast,
yeah, pick me up.
Yeah, other slimming drinks are available. But, I mean, he's got his work cut out for him. And all, you know, Occam's razor, you know, the all things being equal, the most boring outcome is the likeliest. This time in a year, if he gets in, everything's the same. And everyone's bored with him and everyone's bringing him down.
Yeah, we know that in this country from Tony B. Liar.
Right.
Yeah, but you get a few good years of baseless optimism, don't you?
Yeah.
Inevitably, yeah, whoever wins will be taken into a secret office where he'll meet with an E.T., Rupert Murdoch, some Rosicrucians, the head of the Illuminati, the Pope, and...
Members of the royal family in their lizard form.
And they'll be told the basic truths that are kept from the public, you know.
It's
just all about selling weapons.
That's right.
And provoking wars to keep economies going. And I'm sorry, there's not much that can be done about it.
And this note, someone was telling me...
And come to the orgy on Saturday.
Yeah.
You can now come to the Eyes Wide Shut lizard orgy.
So it's not all bad, though.
No, there we go. Bit of politics here on the show.
Fun bit of politics there. I'm excited about the orgy.
Well, you have to become evil to join in.
I know someone in the Illuminati. I could
do
easily,
you? Yeah. You probably do. Your posh contacts.
Of course.
You probably do.
We can get us in there.
You're one dinner party away.
Speaking of posh contacts.
Yeah.
Did you, maybe we'll talk, I'll talk about this during the song, perhaps. We should.
It's not good for the listeners.
No. Well, all right then.
Let's discuss it during the song. If we feel it's fit to broadcast,
that's
we'll
what
talk
I was
about it
say.
After the song.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
It'll
then.
Be frustrating if it isn't. I'll write down some key words that I'll be able to say whatever happens.
Okay. Here's the Chemical Brothers with The Golden Path.
Who's that doing the singing on that then?
Coyne.
Coyne?
Wayne Coyne.
Oh, right. Good, isn't it?
Yeah, very enjoyable. The Golden Path. What is The Golden Path? It sounds like a bit of sexual slang.
No, I'm sure it's just the righteous way.
Right, right, right.
Do you know what I mean? The higher ground.
Sure. So we had the discussion about the thing.
Yeah, and we've decided we can't say anything. It included the words Rothschild and Corfu. And that's why we can't talk about it.
And Mandelson.
Mandelson. Yeah, one yeah. of our recent holidays.
That's right.
So listen, if you're a regular listener to the show, you might remember a segment we did a few months ago on Juvenilia, on stuff that people had written when they were kiddies, kind of great works of juvenile art and literature and screenwriting. And we came away with an extraordinary idea for a film called Steven, which was about a superhero.
And it was the work of...
Well, no, sort of an agent, a secret agent.
It came from a comic written by Stephen...
We'll dig his name
I forget
up.
What his name
He's
was.
He's on the website. The material's on the website. Let me have a look. But anyway, ever since that, and, you know, the whole idea of there being a... Here we go. Sorry to be clicking while I'm speaking. But the whole idea of this word Stephen and the guy shouting, Stephen, has sunk into my brain. And every time I see a film where someone says... the word Steven,
yeah.
I suddenly think what of this other franchise, you know, and how exciting it would be if this really was a film about Steven,
yeah.
And what a powerful name it is.
I mean, this came from the fact that this guy had named his comic, which was like a sort of war adventure comic, he just named it Steven, exclamation yes. mark. And we thought it was a funny thing that, you know, just the idea of getting the drama out of just that character, and it would basically be based around people just calling his name.
Well, he was going to be a secret agent like Bourne or Bond,
right.
but his name would be Stephen, and there'd be a sort of a more normal feel to proceedings.
Yeah.
But I was watching a film the other day, I won't tell you what film it was because that's the point of this little bit, where there's a very good saying of the word Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
It was really powerful. So I thought I'd play the clip and see whether you can guess... what film this superb rendition of the word Stephen comes from. This isn't a competition, of course, because they are verboten
the
at the BBC. But there'll be a prize of kudos to anybody who... Don't text in.
A box
no,
of kudos.
No, because that costs you money and that would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you email in and you can guess what film this is from before Dr. Buckles does...
Right.
Then you win the big invisible prize.
A big invisible box of kudos.
Yeah, here's the clip. It's only short. Yeah?
I know that one. Can I
Do
say...
Do you? No, let's leave it for a bit. You immediately got it.
I think I might be wrong.
That's a good rendition, though, isn't it?
Well, it's the music gives it away and the... and the whirlwind. I can see
but
it in my...
But she cares about Stephen.
Definitely.
She doesn't want him to be hurt.
She doesn't want
She's
him to
saying
let go.
That word, Stephen, with real passion and welly.
Yeah.
Yeah? So we'll leave that for people to guess about for a little bit.
Stephen!
As I say, it...
Just coming.
Exactly. It's not a competition. It's just for fun. I'm going Australian again. This is strange. What's happening next now?
We're going to launch Text the Nation shortly. But before we do, here is some more music. This is Friendly Fires with Paris.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Joe
well,
Cornish.
Now, wait a second. Well, I think we've got a collision of features. Can I put my Stephen thing to rest first? Because it might confuse listeners.
Oh, yeah,
we don't
fair
want
enough.
Two things going at once.
No.
We've had several emails in, and Adam, you got that Stephen clip exactly right. It is, of course, from...
Poltergeist.
Yes, the classic Goethe movie. And we've had emails as well from Simon Bell and Michael Hall and James Heal. No, James Heal says it's Cliffhanger. What are you talking about? I retract your name, James Heal. Even though I'm sure you're very nice.
That's a good guess,
you're very
though.
Wrong. Is it a good guess?
Hanging on, yeah, because that's how it starts, isn't it, with a...
Is he called Stephen? I think he's called Cliff, isn't he? Cliffhanger. Who else has got it? Rob Lightbody has got it, as has Shirley Hopkinson.
Well done, well done.
Well done, Shirley.
Well done, Shirley. Yeah. Well spotted. Box of kudos on its way to
if
you.
If anyone else watches a film or spots a movie and it has someone saying or shouting Stephen in an interesting way, please let us know and then we can do that again, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and that'll be brilliant.
That will be brilliant. Or you could even send us an MP3 if you can be bothered of, like, the clip. But that's asking quite a lot.
Anyway, that's that done. Text the Nation now.
Text the Nation. It's the Nation's favourite feature. It's the part of the show where we talk about a thing and then we ask you to contribute to some kind of ramble thereon. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. Fair enough, mate.
Now, Joe, are you aware of Go-Go Crazy Bones?
Well, this is a playground craze, right?
Mm-hmm.
For kids.
It's sweeping the playgrounds.
Yeah, and is it a little bit like Jack's or that game with coins that kids play where you flick coins against a wall and if they land on each other, you win the coin?
Same sort of principle.
Like that?
It's, let me quote from the Wikipedia, Go-Go's are small figurines that became a popular fad during the 1990s and 2000s, the noughties. I think they were released in the UK earlier this year, or at least a new line of them was, and they have become a craze this year in the UK. Mm. Go-Go's, it continues on Wikipedia, were inspired by a game played in ancient Greece called Astragals, where children played with sheep's knuckle bones. This ancient pastime is known as tabas. Crazy Bones is a modern version of this game, played with characters moulded from plastic. And there's hundreds of these things, right? The little individual characters. And because of the sort of collectability element, you know, children really like collecting things.
Gotta collect them all.
Especially little boys, right? They absolutely adore collecting things and they will go for anything, whether it's conkers or
rubbish.
Bits of rubbish.
Dog poos.
I mean, this is the thing, you know, it doesn't take much to launch a craze is what I'm
right.
saying. And I'm wondering if the listeners can help us with, you know, to spot the next craze. Because there's a lot of money to be made.
A new kiddie craze. Because all they've done is taken, as you say, an ancient game that can be played with natural, you know, materials that don't cost anything. And they've branded them.
Yeah.
They've put little characters onto them.
They've painted them. They're, like, they're very small. So imagine like a sheep's knuckle bone, how small that would be. I mean, it's like, it's a little small.
Size of a dice?
Yeah, I suppose so. Exactly right. Like a little bit larger than a dice, perhaps. And they're all individually painted up and you can get different sort of, there's different lines. So, for example, Crazy Bones, I'm just looking at their webpage right now. These are the mutant line characters, and you've got one called Teacher's Pet that looks like a kind of nerd with glasses on. There's one called Jaws that looks like a shark. And they're very crudely painted up little figures, you know. But they swap them, you know, there's all the swapping thing goes on. And basically the way you play the game, if you want to actually play the game, is you throw your go-go's, the little things on the table. The player receives a score depending on which way the go-go lands and is standing on the table, right? So you get nil points if it's facing down. If it's on its back, it facing up, you get 1 point, etc. Maximum points if it's standing on its head, 10 points you get.
That's quite an achievement.
Nonsense. I mean, it's pure rubbish, and you could apply the same game to almost anything. You could do it with dog poo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be. Would it be less fun?
Less hygienic.
It would be less hygienic.
But what are you asking people?
I'm
here?
Asking listeners to come up with their ideas for a similar sort of game. Object-based game that can be a collectible craze for children across the country.
Right.
And we can make millions of pounds and retire, right? That is what I'm asking. Here's a few ideas that I've come up with, just to give you a sort of steer. How about this? Pebbles, right? Little pebbles, and they've got little eyes stuck on. I mean, this is very similar, obviously, to the Crazy Bones. They've got like little eyes painted on. Perhaps they look like rock stars, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so you could call them rock stars.
I like it.
And that's about it. Or I was thinking you could call them, and I'm trying to give them cooler names, because half the battle, right, is to think of cool names for these boring little objects.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Peb Lords.
I like Peb Lords a lot. It gives them an authority.
Pebbles.
Yeah, it gives them a power. They demand to be purchased.
And they're just little stones, right? You get little bags of them and they've just got eyes on them.
Just little stones.
Peblords.
I think they're lords.
They're Peblords or Super Pebs.
I like both.
Okay, how about this one? Bogeymen. They are actual bogeys, but they're sealed in resin.
I like it.
Little bits of resin. So you can collect them.
Who are they from?
Well, that's the thing.
Probably kids in the third world in a factory.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it could be like a big deal to get your own bogeyman.
And send it in and get it encased.
You know, exactly. You get it sent in, you get extra money off the little kids, you charge them £10 for that.
Bogey has a lot of character.
And then, and you could get like a super bogey. Imagine if you were able to extract a mammoth bogey. That everyone loves
kids
bogeys.
Kids love bogeys. Well, I wouldn't say everyone loves it. Kids love bogeys.
What do you mean? Not everyone.
I think some adults don't like bogeys so much.
Well, this is the thing. It's a fun way to stop them eating them as well.
Right.
Because you wouldn't necessarily want to eat them once they're covered in resin. It's a choking hazard.
No, you wouldn't necessarily want your child to collect it either.
Well, I that's where I disagree with
right.
you.
Right. Okay.
I think you would.
These are very good ideas.
Peb Lords, bogeymen. How about this? Mecha sticks.
Yeah.
They're lolly sticks, right?
Yeah.
And they are in the shape of different robots. And obviously you could have an accompanying line of lollies.
Hang on. So in what sense are they sticks?
They're lolly sticks.
Right. But they're shaped like robots?
Yeah. They've got the vague outline of a robot.
Okay.
And, you know, a little
embossed
bit of detailing.
Sort of
them. And mecha sticks.
Right. What do you do with them?
Collect them, and then you throw them
at
each
other. That's the thing about collecting, isn't it? It gives anything a purpose.
Exactly.
I mean, it could just, as you say, be bogeys, apple cores, bottle tops.
But you collect them because it basically comes down to the Conkers theory, which is just like, what do you do with? Did you ever play Conkers at school? I mean, Conkers is a waste of time.
What about this sand warriors?
That's good.
Grains of sand.
They're little. That's a bit too small. They could get easily lost.
No, come on, great. They're $5.99 each. Grains of sand. And if you look at them through a specially supplied microscope, you can see they're like robots again.
That's too small. They would get too easily lost.
All right, this is good. We're focusing it in.
Because at the moment, like, crazy bones have been banned in a lot of schools because of the arguments that ensue.
It's too much of a craze. That's the sign of a good craze. If it's banned in schools, you're there. You've won.
Exactly. So, mecha sticks. But look, mecha sticks, right? Here's the thing. They come with the lolly, and the lolly is called Lollybots.
Of course it is.
So it's exciting. It's like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. You know, you don't know which one you need to complete the set. You're going through the lollybots and thinking...
have to eat the lolly to reveal the
exactly.
bot.
Exactly. I hope I get John Bot. Oh, I haven't thought too
No, John
hard,
Bot's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a good start.
I hope I get John Bot. Oh, no, it's Robbie again. I've got Robbie. I wanted John Bot.
What sort of a child is this?
Angry.
It's a mutant one. It's the one from the end of Don't Look Now.
He's a child that's eaten too many lollybots.
Right.
Oh, no.
Hate that
it's
child.
I wanted John Bot.
Oh, my God.
Unwrap another.
I wish I'd never had this child. It's awful.
Mom! We've run out of lollybots.
So the text number for your ideas is 640. And I was nervous about saying ideas plural because there might just be the one. 64046, or the email is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk for this week's Text the Nation. Are you okay now?
Lollybots! So we need a title for the craze stroke game, and we need a description of what it would involve.
Yep.
Okay, that's basically all we're talking about. Here's a bit of free play action for you now, listeners. This is a remix of a track by The Pastels, which came on, it was like about 10 years ago, maybe there was a remix album of some of their stuff. I think they're from Scotland, aren't they? A Scottish group, very primitive indie band, The Pastels. And I think it was Ian Carmichael that remixed this track called The Viaduct. Enjoy! That's The Pastels, remixed by Ian Carmichael. That track's called The Viaduct. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's 10:30, time now for the news. New Order with Bizarre Love Triangle. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. And it's a pleasure to be here with you, ladies and gentlemen.
We're getting a lot of excellent ideas for collectible toys for children, which is this week's Text the Nation. But another thing that could have been a Text the Nation, but it isn't going to be, it's just a subject for a quick bit of chittle-chattle, mm-hmm. is what's happening to the satellite TV channels. A lot of them are being renamed. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, Richard and Judy are now on what claims to be a brand new channel, which is called...
It's called Watch.
Watch. And it used to be Living, though.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
So they've spent a lot of money. They've obviously focus grouped it and stuff, and they've rebranded it as Watch.
Mm-hmm.
There's another channel that used to be, it used to be called UK Gold or something, and it now just calls itself Gold.
Oh, right.
But it's now an acronym.
G-O-L-D, right.
Go On Laugh Daily. Or so it says on the bus stop near my tube.
Yeah, they've got. I think they've got variations on what that acronym could stand for.
Right, really?
Because maybe
it's quite a good channel. It's got nothing but classic comedy repeated all day, with a proviso that all satellite channels are unwatchable because of the adverts.
Yeah.
That having said, if you can manage to skip the adverts, the programs on GOLD are quite good. But yeah, Dave did it as well, right? What did Dave used to be?
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Some sort of man-based channel, I don't know.
Dave wasn't... No, was Bravo's something different. Bravo's still Bravo, right?
I don't know. I can't keep up. Menomosis. Maybe. Someone will tell us. But Dave seemed to be the first time they decided we're going to throw off, you know, the bonds of conventionality with TV station names and just have any kind of word that might get people interested in us.
I mean, I guess it worked because we can't remember what Dave used to be.
Exactly. It's redefined it brilliantly. And Watch is an exciting channel. It's got... Have you seen the idents for Watch?
No.
It's got a group of about 15 people, I suppose, representing the viewership of Watch, rolling a big eyeball up a hill.
Oh, yes.
As if they're triumphant, as if they're, you know, going to roll it to their palace gates.
Mm-hmm.
And smash down the door and kick the king in the nutties.
Yes.
They look very triumphant. They're kind of emboldened. Their heads are held high. They're mixed races, creeds. And they're rolling the giant eyeball.
It's like a big Benetton gang's got hold of an eyeball.
Yeah, fighting for their right to watch Richard and Judy interview Josh Hartnett every day against a bright red background.
Yeah.
But I was wondering how you would pep up the other channels with new names.
Hmm.
You know, BBC Three, that now sounds quite old school, doesn't it?
Well, they went through many, I mean, they started off
Choice.
Choice, UK Play at one point they were.
At one point they were called Snot, with four exclamation marks.
Rubbles, I think they were at one stage.
Boobs, with a Z. And apparently BBC Three are going to turn, they're going to change their name to F Off, exclamation mark.
Yeah.
Because that's just what the kids like. And that's what they say to everybody after they've delivered a pilot or one series. Because these days in youth culture, ideas move so quickly that you can't have more than one series of anything.
That's true, isn't it?
Put it on, try it out, cancel it.
Boring,
next.
Seen
next.
It.
BBC Four, also a very conventional old school name for a channel, don't you think?
They've never had any kind of rebranding there, have they?
I think they should be called De La Pense. And it's actually spelled P-E-N-S-E, as in French for think, of the thought kind of thing. I know that's not exactly right, but from who cares?
Of thought,
But luckily it sounds like the word Ponce. Yeah. So De La Pense, avez-vous voir le programme sur De La Pense ce soir?
Oh, vous êtes De Ponce, oui?
Oui, De La Pense.
There is a channel that you might like. It's a fair Ponce. It's
BBC Ponce.
It's BBC Ponce.
I don't like to do down BBC Four, though. It's a cheap low blow, and it's actually the best channel.
Oh man, I was only everyone knows it's the best channel
there is.
Yeah, you got your best docs on there, the best music, everything.
Without doubt. But there you go, just a couple of ideas, because I think it's the way forward, isn't it? You don't want numbers and a corporate branding on channel names anymore. You want a buzzy word that makes you excited.
Well, oi is staring someone in the face.
Really? What would that be?
That
kind of a yobby channel
Bravo,
for yobs.
Bravo, possibly.
It could have nothing but police, you know, those documentaries about the police stopping binge drinkers and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Oi!
Yeah, and that would just be that would be the ident, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oi!
And, I mean, that was a musical movement as well, wasn't it? Oi, and you could have a little bit of that music over some of the idents. Some of the idents are quite good for these channels. There was one the other day that I saw. I got excited thinking about it.
Why?
Oh, gosh. Because they were quite good. There was one, maybe it was for a movie channel. I can't. Obviously, the idents weren't so good.
It's so exciting. It's a blur. I can't remember exactly what happened. What happened so far? I
remember. Can't remember which channel they were for, so maybe they weren't that great. But the idents themselves featured a little gang of people kind of reenacting. Like movies, as if they were doing charades, you know. So it was like a little mini scene to describe a whole movie,
right?
And it was quite amusing. I thought they're quite well done.
Yeah, you know, you can't have Film 4 called Film 4 anymore.
No,
that's an old school title. What could that be called?
Flicks.
Yes, with an X Z.
I mean, there is something like that already, though, isn't
there? Not with an X Z.
No, Flicks.
Three X's and a Z. Four Zs.
Maybe four Zs,
Anyway, there's something to think about. We'll be reading out some of your exciting ideas to rip off kids with collectible games quite soon. after this song by the Mystery Jets. This is called Two Doors Down.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's Text the Nation time, and this week's proposition is invent new collectible craze things for kids.
Inspired by the craze for Go-Go's Crazy Bones.
Yeah, and we've been flooded with ideas. Some of them are very strong. Again, I think this is going to make us some money.
I hope so.
So I'm going to pitch these to you, Dr. Buckles, and you've got to tell me whether you're going to go with these, all right?
Right.
You run some kind of a company, kids' toy company.
Okay, rip off kids. Kids Rip Off. We haven't finished to finalise the name.
Right, okay.
Kid Rips.
So here's the first idea. This comes from Scott from Norfolk. He says, what about stinks and diseases, in which children exchange both stinks and diseases? I'm imagining some brightly coloured Petri dishes, mm-hmm. a different type of sort of disease mould in each one. They've maybe got crazy faces on them, mm-hmm. and you swap them and rub them in your eye or something to get a disease. It's not going to be popular with parents, is it?
Well, it happens already. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but why not harness it and sell it? It happens, but no one's making any money from it. The toy companies certainly aren't.
Mm.
The medicine companies maybe are with their fun medicines. But can't the toy companies have a slice of that pie?
That's a nice idea.
Okay, let's we move on when we hear that noise usually. Here is one from somebody who says, Conkers, but with a Q-U.
Ah.
Okay, it'll be hard to make that sound cool because it sounds exactly like Conkers, so maybe Conquerors. They're Conkers painted different colours, I suppose. Also, they're perfectly round. Yeah.
That's the thing, man. That's the genius of the thing is to take something that's already perfectly
naturally available
fine, and sell it back to the...
Well, I'm sure that's been done. I'm sure you can get plastic Conkers.
Really?
I'm sure I've seen that. Like battling Conkers.
Maybe you feel like it's such a good idea, but...
No, I'm sure it happened. I'm sure they attempted to launch it a few years ago. I'm thinking... But you could still market it if you wanted, if your company wanted to.
Well, I bet the name hasn't been taken. That's a good name. Conkers with a Q.
Yeah.
Quonkers.
Here's another very good one. I like this one from Danny in Bedford. He says bagel. Kids collect plastic bags and compete on the basis of tensile strength.
That's a good idea.
So they have a little sort of a tug of war with the bag.
Yeah.
And if it snaps and maybe your opponent hits their head and are hurt badly, you've won.
The problem with bagel, though, is it's not very eco-friendly because you would have to produce a new set of plastic bags in order to market them
no
yourself.
No children's toys are eco-friendly, are they? Children are basically destroying the planet with their nappies
it's
and their toys.
It's mainly their fault. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But bagel, I would say, is on the more overt end of...
You're showing a surprising amount of heart for the company, for the head of a toy company.
For Kid Rips.
For Kid Rips. Kid Rips doesn't usually worry about the...
No, I think it's a great idea.
Exactly.
Let's
marketing.
Get into production. What's it called again? Bagel.
Bagel. Yeah.
I like it. It's really good.
Okay. Here's another one from Paul in Broccoli. How about automatons.
Oh, I like it.
Collectible characters drawn on leaves. £5 for a pack of four, but get this, the rarest characters can't be bought, but are hidden on a few trees across the country.
Ooh,
that is brilliant, because
is really
lots of kids would think they'd seen one high up a tree.
Uh-huh.
They'd fall and hurt themselves. It would be all over the tabs.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless publicity. Who cares if a couple of kids have a couple of broken bones? If it means that Rip-Off Kids make
Kid
a bit
Rips.
More... Kid Rips makes a bit more money.
That's true, yeah. We could put them in really high trees, couldn't we? Hard-to-climb trees as well. But the only problem with that is that it's too seasonal. What happens at the end of autumn when they all fall down, they become readily available to absolutely anybody. That's not so good for Kid Rips.
Okay, so Paul... from Broccoli is being turned down there by Kid Rips. Nice. I keep thinking.
I like it, Paul.
Nice idea.
Like barks, something to do with barks, something to encourage kids to randomly strip bark from trees.
Hubcaps with a Z. Yeah. That'll be good.
It'd be great. Or, of course, the medallions from Mercedes-Benz. Bring back that craze. Why not?
Here is Lee, who sends a text saying, how about Atom Lords? Atom-sized action figures invisible to the human eye.
Well, this is like your sand idea.
Each box has a billion. And a coupon to purchase a microscope to see them through.
And a ticket to the Hadron Collider.
They already sell invisible action figures, don't they, in those kind of, you know, grown-up toy shop, you know, novelty shops.
You could exchange, you could have something where you're exchanging, like, concepts, you know? Just ideas for okay, this rubbish. I'm just going to stop
it's
talking.
Rubbish, isn't it?
Absolute rubbish.
You've got to have started something talking. Physical well, to hold.
Just a disgrace. I'm going to stop talking. Joe, let's have some more music. Let's have one of your free plays and come back to.
That's a good idea. Is this the JBs?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Jungle Brothers with Tribe Vibes.
The JBs.
Yeah.
That is good, man. When's that from then?
I think it's from Done by the Forces of Nature, isn't it? It's from one of the early Jungle Brothers albums.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, Xanthi's nodding there. She's a fellow hip-hop expert piece. Xanthi, she's looking after us today. Giving me some confused hand signals. I think she's just threatened me in a gang manner.
Mm.
Might get taken out after the show. This is Adam and Joe on Six Music. Just coming up to the top of the hour gives us a couple of minutes to talk about the following, Adam, go.
Rats.
Rats?
How much do you know about rats?
I know you've had problems with rats. You've told a very stirring story before about finding a rubbish bag in your house full of rats and actually teeming with wriggling rats.
A while ago when I was had a flat in North London and...
the home of rats.
It was like a basement flat and came down after a couple of weeks away after Christmas one time, and the bag was bulging with rats. It was alive with rats. It was like a big rat bag. And then later on that night, when I was on the lavvy, right, reading my music magazine or whatever it was,
lovely thought,
and a rat emerged from behind the cistern and ran out over my foot while I was sat there. You know, it was in the middle of the night. I'd gone in a semi-conscious state to the lavvy, and you're half awake or half asleep or whatever, and the rat ran out.
Is the old rat story.
This is the old rat story. New rat facts the other day, right? This is a week or two ago, even, in the paper someone alerted this to me. Britain's rat population is growing at a startling rate thanks to the warmer... climate, thanks Al Gore, and because of increasingly slovenly refuse habits, you know, less rubbish collection, all that.
Slovenly.
Check out these rat facts, right? Rats can gnaw through steel and metal and are incapable of vomiting. They will eat anything and they...
Really?
Yeah. They're happy to
eat. They can't vomit.
No vomit. There's no vomiting.
They'd be great drinking buddies.
You know, they go out and they get completely hammered. I'm sure that I wouldn't put it past the rats.
Right.
They go out and they're binge drinking and there's no vomiting.
Rats.
They have sex roughly 20 times
a
day.
Enough. Really?
20 times a day. The male rat sometimes mates until the partner dies of exhaustion.
They have such a good time.
I mean, these are party animals, aren't they? They're drinking without vomiting. They're shagging themselves literally to death. A single pair of rats can produce 15,000 offspring a year.
Nearly as many as you.
I mean, that is a lot, isn't it? That is even more than me. 15,000 from a single pair of rats. 7% of house fires in Britain
are
caused by rats.
They're the perfect organism.
Right.
They're biological life.
Exactly. They will survive anything.
Its absolute perfect extreme.
Rats and cockroaches.
They look beautiful. They live beautifully.
Check this out. They are the only animal that the SAS are banned from eating.
Right.
Because they love plague. They always hang out, you know, they love a little bit of plague. And they're not bothered by it. They're not going to vomit.
Oh, right. I've eaten some plague. Oh, I've had a little bit of plague with me cables. Is that a problem, do you think, Martin? No, don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
That's how they talk. It's not like in Ratatouille, you know. It's grotesque. Also, how about this? Are you enjoying these rat facts?
Yes, I'm loving them.
Did you know that a collective noun for the rats is a mischief of rats? A mischief of rats. Can you look a bit more interested in the rat fact? I thought that was interesting.
It's interesting.
Okay, only two more rat facts, right? And then it's the top of the hour and we can have the top of our jingle.
Right.
All right. That's all you're worried about,
isn't
it?
I just don't like facts.
What's wrong with facts?
They tire me. I don't want to know facts. I want to know lies. But keep going anyway.
Here we go. You can make up some lies.
All right.
Did you know...
It's just the fact that you've got them off the internet.
You always bring me down whenever I get facts.
From the internet.
It's not from the internet. It was from a newspaper.
That's different.
And I wrote it down.
I take it back.
Thank you. I mean, I found the article
just
on the internet.
Just get the facts over with.
Did you know that rats, they can collapse their skeletons and crawl through holes as narrow as 3/4 of an inch?
Like the man in the X-Files, Tombs.
Exactly, yes. Like Tombs. You see, now you're interested. You
well,
can relate
mice
it to
can do that as well. Everyone, that. Cats can
oh,
do
Oh, everyone
that,
can
God
collapse
everyone,
their
I can
skeletons.
Do
oh, what's
my
the big deal?
My skeleton's collapsing now, just listening to you waffle on.
Okay, last rat fact. Did you know they... Rats are cannibals. And when one feeds on another, you like cannibals, right? And zombies?
They're incredible.
Did you know, rats are cannibals. They feed on one another. And when the rat feeds on another rat, it opens up the head and it starts with the brain.
Right.
I mean, you don't get any of these rat facts in Ratatouille. Which one of those rat facts
That's
was covered
true.
In
it would
Ratatouille?
Be quite a different film, wouldn't it?
I think so. I mean, they might consider some of these for the sequel.
It could be some kind of sort of Norwegian adult cartoon. Voiced by Simon Pegg.
Hey, yeah, what was the name of that cartoon?
Free Jimmy.
Free Jimmy. I didn't read very many glowing reviews for that one.
No.
Have you seen it?
No. I'm sure it's very good.
I'm sure it's a treat. That is the end of Rat Facts.
Oh, thank God for that.
Top of our sting.
This is the voice of the big British castle. It is the top of the hour. Ooh, that's wonderful. I got so bored with the last hour. I'm glad it's gone. Now here's the new one. It's exciting and it's new. How do you do?
Now, I want to know when the Madness film... Do you remember the Madness film, Take It or Leave It?
Yeah.
Is that available? I was watching Babylon, which is a fantastic London reggae film from 1980, 79, 78 maybe, not quite sure.
Yeah.
Just been re-released on DVD. It is wicked.
Babylon.
Really, really good. It's kind of a rarity that's vanished for a while.
What, is it a narrative thing or is it
a narrative, but lots of amazing reggae in it and lots of footage of sound systems. You know those big sound system parties? Mm-hmm. Shaka Zulu or whatever he's called. It was very good, though.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. But do you remember Take It or Leave It, the Madness
sure.
film? It had that brilliant fight with the neon tubes on the...
I never saw it, though.
Underground I don't think
really
I did either.
Yeah, it was just
so
one of those...
So maybe it's got to be quite interesting now. Movies like that that weren't very good at the time sometimes become amazingly interesting.
There's always little bits of interest, like
20 years later,
the Clash movie,
later.
Rude Boy, which has also got a sort of thin narrative. But you also get little glimpses of the Clash in action and in the studio and stuff. So it's...
I think after 30 years, pretty much anything... becomes just interesting just because it's of the backgrounds, like the streets people are standing in and the words they're using and all the old time behaviour that you didn't realise was going to date.
Right, little time capsule.
Yeah, that's very much the case with Babylon, which was pretty great anyway, but now it's like amazing capturing the streets of London in the 70s and how grotty and derelict and foggy and
was that during
sort of
all
Victorian.
The strikes and everything?
Yeah, well, it was just before the first Brixton riots in 1980.
Ooh.
But you forget how grotty everything in London
was. It was grey and grim.
Obviously, it's going to get that way again after the big depression.
Grey and grim.
Anyway, if anyone knows whether you can get Take It or Leave It, I'd like to.
You must be able
I'd
to.
Like to have it.
Did you know that Richard Curtis was involved with trying to write a movie for Madness as a kind of vehicle for the Nutty Boys?
Well, they were in The Young Ones, weren't they?
Of course.
Playing
in
a pub in an episode of The Young Ones. That's a connection. Was Curtis involved with The Young Ones?
I don't know. Ben Elton was, certainly. I think maybe he was. Well, no, because Ben Elton then hooked up with Curtis to
it's
do...
It's not unusual for the comedy scene to be connected with the music scene, is it?
No, exactly.
In Britain.
Yeah, because, like, well, obviously there's that thing about Spielberg was going to get involved with Supergrass to do...
Oh, really?
To do a TV show around them, yeah, because he
like the monkeys,
like exactly.
Was that true though?
Yes, it was true. Yeah,
did they have a hit in the States, Supergrass?
They did.
I'd be surprised if Spielberg wanted to do it.
No, he
it
definitely did.
British,
there was
really?
A meeting. Yeah, the video directors Dom and Nick, one of whom is a brother of Danny Goffey, the drummer,
right?
And they directed a lot of their videos. They're brilliant directing team, Dom and Nick. And they did, you know, the All Right video. They did all the iconic Supergrass videos. And they went out and had a meeting with Spielberg.
Right.
About the possibility of doing the, you know, like a Supergrass TV show. But it's one of those things, you know, that just slipped through the cracks and they never got it together in the end.
No.
Sorry about that.
Well, listen, this was going to be a Text the Nation link. Shall we still do some or shall we have another record? Let's have another record and come back to Text the Nation.
Here's a little bit of gold frap for you. This is Strict Machine.
Fold Grap with Strict Machine. That was exciting. There was chit-chat about them being at the Electric Proms the other day. Is that right? Doing an amazing set.
Yeah, they converted a room into like a little folk tent there, and they were delighting the armies of Goldfrapp fans with their sexy sounds. Shall we resume Text the Nation?
Yeah, shall we have a jingle just to give a bit of, you know, structure to proceedings?
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
That's better. Now, are you there, the head of, what were you called, your company?
Kid Rips.
Yeah, you're there. Good, good, good. So here's an idea. If you've just tuned in, we're asking for new collectible crazes for kids, things that can be marketed.
Inspired by the craze for Go-Go Crazy Bones.
Yeah, we've had a lot of very, very good suggestions. This is from Chris and Kylie. They suggest gladiator peas. Peas with tiny swords with a badly painted bowl as an arena. A lion could be a peanut with a bit of black marker on it. We'll be rich, I tells ya. Says Chris and Kylie. Well, I mean, forgive me for doing your job for you, Mr. Crap Kids, whatever you're called, Kid Rips. But that seems as if you wouldn't have to pay for it. I mean, you'd just get some frozen peas and you'd have hundreds of the little fellas.
Yeah, we don't want to encourage kids to make their own toys.
Exactly.
You know, when that starts happening, that's when everything goes...
That's a very stupid idea, Chris.
Bottoms up.
Bad idea.
You'll hate that idea.
Here's George from Petersfield, who says, how about something called twocks? Mm-hmm. Essentially, they're little foam discs you throw at people's foreheads to twock them. You get points for hitting different areas of the forehead. The discs have pictures of celebrity foreheads on. Christina Ricci's is the size of a dinner plate. George from Petersfield. That's quite a good idea because, again, it'll get in the tabloids. A kid will get blinded or get his retina scratched.
Well, some like a gang will start using metal twocks. And, you know, they would just become embedded in people's skulls.
Well, like little throwing stars.
Exactly.
But that you wouldn't have to take any responsibility because your company manufactures the foam ones.
Right.
So it's you can't control what kids do.
No, I like twocks. I think twocks is a great idea.
I like the idea of the face as a scoreboard.
Yeah.
You know, points for the nose, different points for the eyes, get one in the mouth. Obviously dangerous, but danger is fun. Kids love danger.
I'm pretty sure it's absolutely fine to encourage children to throw things directly at people's eyes and face.
They're very soft things. They're foamy.
I'm certain that that's fine, and I'm sure it's a fun idea that kids will enjoy and we can charge them a lot of money for.
Going ahead with that.
Yes, I like twocks.
Good. Well done, George from Petersfield. You're in the money.
Kid Rips likes it.
Here's one from Rich. A new craze. Plastic fast food cutlery shaped like martial arts weapons to appeal to slightly mentally unstable boys. Can't think of an amusing name, and now I think about it, my idea's a bit pants, says Rich. Kind of crumpling mid-text there.
Well, it's a good idea for the fast food joints. They could certainly market a line of cutlery for their stuff, you know? And the obese kids would be having fun with their martial arts cutlery there, you know?
One more quick one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one, I think. James is suggesting hyperclips. Not just any old paper clips, but hyper cyborg paper clips that link themselves together into amazing shapes, such as lines and circles, says James.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Multi-purpose.
I'm not sure. I can't quite envisage the clip. I mean, they already do big novelty clips, don't they? Big plastic ones with the... you know, characters on them.
Well, if you keep going on the same kind of stationary tip, what about some sort of thing with... I mean, you can already get different types of thumbtacks,
can't
you?
The key is to give each paperclip a name, a character, a backstory, a kingdom, friends, right? It's giving the object the value of a whole person in a world, right?
Yeah.
That I mean, makes them collectible.
We talked about crazes that children invent themselves a while back.
Mm.
Obviously, that's no good for Kid Rips because you can't regulate it. But you remember, like, at school, what was the thing you had at school? At our school, we had SpacTac, which was a... people got blue tack and they combined it with toothpaste.
We just had a war of glue versus adhesive.
Oh, that's right.
That was just which word you used.
If you were a glue person. Divisive. Or an adhesive person.
Here's one more from Alex Vernon Kell. He says, hi.
Vernon K.
Kell, I'm afraid.
Mm.
This game is called Knuckleheads. You get little rings with different faces on, called knuckle bashers. The kids wear the rings and punch each other till the other one surrenders his knuckle basher. Then you are the knuckle master. That's good. I like the idea that the knuckle dusters would have backwards faces and you'd actually punch, bruise them into your opponent's face.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun.
You've got Lord Bash on your cheek.
Yeah.
That would sell.
Absolutely. It's great. It's fun. It's encouraging children to take physical exercise. It's it's a little bit of harmless fun.
Imagine a twock attack followed up by a knuckle bash.
Yeah, that's fun. Because it's something that's happening anyway. It's a lot of violence in the street. Why not turn it into something fun?
Well, collectible knives, that's a whole other
collectible knives.
Merchandise. Text the Nation will continue a bit later, so keep your ideas coming in. We'll do one more go-through of them.
Here's a little free play for you now. Would you pronounce his name Shuggy Otis or Shuggy Otis?
I pronounce it Shurche Hochis.
Shurche Hochis. This is Strawberry Letter 23, and lovely it is too. Album of the year, surely. What's your album of the year? The Vampire Weekend album.
That's, right.
It's got to be up there on people's lists, you would think. Album of the year for you, Joe Cornish?
Oh, I don't really know. I'd have to think about that.
Don't you think about it all the time?
No.
Don't you just sit there compiling your album of the year list towards this time of the year?
No, you're right. I should, though, shouldn't I? I bet you Six Music are going to ask us,
aren't
they?
How very irresponsible.
When the new year comes, we'll be asked for our top 10
tracks. The leaves start falling from the trees. You haven't even thought about your album of the year.
It's terrible, isn't it?
You're a disgrace. What kind of DJ are you? The worst kind
Bad
of DJ.
One?
The worst.
I am. I admit that freely.
Have you got any rat facts?
I was thinking of giving up.
Do you have rat facts?
No, I don't have rat facts.
No, none rat facts.
I can't operate the internet.
None rat facts. What have you got? What have you got?
I've got facts about foreign film posters.
Okay, then.
Okay. I've noticed, I'm obsessed with film poster design.
Sure.
I think it's collapsed. Absolutely. The imagination's gone out of the industry. Uh-huh. Whenever you get a comedy, it's a white background with some Photoshop people
badly
and the title in red. Right. This was noticed by the fellow that edits that website, Ultra Culture, who's a bit of a fan of ours. He does a very good website. And he's got a whole string of film posters for light comedies, all designed around the same template. The title in red against a white background and then two or three Photoshopped people. How to Win Friends and Influence People, Lose Friends and Alienate People is the most recent offender. Not criticising the film in any way.
No, just, talking about
just the poster.
Yep.
Wedding Days, all the scary movie and epic movie films. He's got an amazing string of them.
Yeah.
And they're all like that. But I've noticed a new trend that's emerged this week in with sort of classy foreign movies, like the film Gomorrah,
right,
that's doing boffo biz in the art houses. There's a film called La Zona, which is Argentinian or Spanish or something, and it's about kids invading a gated community.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another film called Incendiary with Ewan McGregor. And that's a sort of London set terrorist thriller. They've all got exactly the same poster design, which is six or seven squares with images, different scenes from the film. And then the title in kind of stamped red typeface diagonally against black.
Hmm.
All three of those films have exactly the same layout. It was very disturbing. In Time Out this week, I noticed that. And then the two other films that had posters, Ghost Town and some Italian film, both featured a man on a bench.
Right.
Looking bored.
Forrest Gump as well is the other obvious one there. Can you think of any other bench ones?
But how can it be that in 1 week, three films come out with exactly the same poster design? Is it because one of them's been a success and the other two just want, literally think people are so stupid that they'll just mistake one film for the other film?
Well, especially
and pay their money.
You were telling me how much money they spend on marketing all these things. It's more than the budget of the film sometimes, right?
Sometimes.
And so they don't want to take any chances. The more money that gets spent, the less chances people want to take, right?
Yeah.
So especially in the art of poster design, which can really make a difference to your movie.
Posters used to be good, though.
Of course they did. But this is the thing. Ever since the 70s, people have been lamenting the fact that posters don't seem to be taking any chances anymore. And it's all just about getting the message across in the most banal way and imprinting it in people's heads. It's a shame. It's an absolute shame. What are you going to do about it?
About Quantum of Solace? Do you remember the Bond posters?
Yeah.
Do you remember they used to be like a sexy lady and a villain shooting out and a rocket and an explosion and a jet ski and it all bursting out of the wall at you?
Do you remember the poster for A View to a Kill? Was it? The one with Grace Jones in it. And they extended Bond's legs to a ludicrous degree.
Right.
And so it looked as if his legs were like about 6 miles long.
Right.
But it was good, it did the
job. That wasn't the one, was it For Your Eyes Only, which had the lady's legs? And you're looking through the lady's legs
maybe.
At Bond. and her legs are unusually wide apart at the top.
As if she'd just dropped Bond from... She'd just given birth to Bond and he'd just popped out. It's a little physical Bond release.
Anyway, watch out for that. Poster, film poster similarity.
Two thumbs up for Gamora from Joe Films Cornish.
Oh, yeah, I liked it.
And what was La Zona? Have you seen that one?
No.
What other films have you seen at the films recently that were good?
I saw Horton Hears the Who.
On DVD?
Yes.
That's not bad, is it?
It's not bad.
It's beautiful.
In places,
it's beautiful to look at.
In places, yeah.
We had a little viewing of the new Indiana Jones movie.
Right.
Or Indiana Bones, as my boys call it.
Nice.
Man, they were so excited. But it had to be halted because it was too scary.
Really?
Yes.
At what point was it too scary? When they go, when the men come out of the walls?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly
scary,
then.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I just thought, and then I felt like a fool. I looked at the DVD box and it's a 12.
Mm.
I just thought, you jerk, what kind of parent?
You've broken the law.
I didn't even think to look at it because, you know, I just thought, Indiana Jones, that's family fun, isn't it?
What's going to happen to your children?
I've
there
ruined
they are, eating
them.
Dog turds.
They weren't the ones that ate the dog pops.
Films, throwing things at each other's
they
faces.
They were traumatised, so they never got to see the ridiculous alien denouement.
Ooh. Hey! Oh,
of Close Encounters.
Adam Buxton. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's 11:30. What's it time for? Some news. Yeah, is it the news right now?
Yes, here read by Harvey and George.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. So check it out.
It's time to recap Song Wars, the part of the show where Adam and I go off and individually compose, record and perform a song on a theme. And this week's theme was spookiness and scariness because it's Halloween, of course, on Friday. And this is your second chance to hear those songs.
That was nice, man. It was a good little bit of scene setting.
Thanks a lot.
You're the king of setting the scene.
Thank you. So we'll start with yours this time.
Right, this is about it's a scary song. It doesn't sound scary because it's jazzy sounding, but it's about a scary
makes
thing.
Makes it even scarier.
Which is the place where a serial killer does all his disgusting work and down in his basement, a.k.a. the Nutty Room.
Nutty, I am a nutty man, I'm sitting in my nutty room. And I'm cutting some bits of human skin to make it to a big cocoon. It's true for the cops and I'm pulling out the stops because I am a complicated loon. Look at the jars, look at the jars, look at the things inside the jars. I put some fingers there, some hair and several winkies. Look at the walls, totally covered in crazy scrawls. And from time to time I add a couple of stinkies. I love the smell and the gloom of my crazy nutty room. Come on over for some nibbles and some drinkies. It's so wonderful to meet you if you come. Welcome to my nutty lair. Careful of the pit, mind the pirate. Have a seat on the bed of human hair. I hope you like injections and butterfly collections and the work of the performer Leo Sayer. Crazy, have you ever seen a person who was so completely nuts? Lazy, oh no, I'm always working, making something out of other people's guts. Patrick Swayze.
Very good. Nutty Room there. That's Adam's song for Song Wars. Was that recorded over a... did you make the music?
Did I assemble a jazz band?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got the loops and everything, if that's what you mean.
You got the loops.
Yeah, it's not like a pre-assembled
that's
backing
good.
Track.
It sounds very tight.
Oh, it's jazzy.
It's very jazzy. So
you can see the lyrics from Nutty Room there on...
So you keep saying. I think the lyrics are crystal clear.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, I don't think you've got a lyric problem there myself.
I was worried they might be a little bit garbled. But if you do want to just sing along with Nutty Room, if you're doing Listen Again, you can find the lyrics on the Six Music website. Let's hear Joe's right
now. Yeah, if you want garbled lyrics, this is the song for you. This is called Hello, Mr. Ghost.
This song is designed to be heard by ghosts. It's got the ultrasonic noises.
Scared. I'm a ghost, it's calling me. While we're talking, Mr. Gust, I'd like to ask a favour. I don't suppose there's any chance that you'd possess my neighbour. He plays his stereo too loud, I'd exorcise him later.
Terrifying songs to choose from for Halloween this year. That's exciting, isn't it?
The power of the chaos
for everybody.
How did you get that bone noise? You must have been pleased when you found
Which
that.
Which one's that?
The sort of xylophone.
Oh, that's just a xylophone on GarageBand.
Is it?
Yeah, from my orchestra jam pack.
You must have been delighted when you found that.
Yeah, it's good to have a bit of Skellington-style xylophones. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, you've got the edge, certainly, with the atmosphere there.
Well, it's two different aspects to terror, isn't it? It's your traditional supernatural ghost terror and your very human, psychologically dysfunctional serial killer fear. Both
it's like
tropes
Saw,
represented.
Saw 5.
You know that Saw poster that's on the side of buses?
It's been banned.
And it says it's been banned. Oof. It's got a big thing. You might have seen it, listeners, on buses around the town where you live or village, if there are big buses in your village. But what is the image that's been banned? Because it's got the word banned, and then behind it there's just what looks like a sort of... Just something's been squashed, hasn't it? And,
yeah.
And there's just splats of blood and bits of hair.
Well,
and
I was wondering about it because I thought... can you just bandy around the word band like that? Is there not like...
Yeah, I'm sure... Yeah, if you purposely, like, say, well, we're going to advertise the Adam and Joe radio show on Six Music with a picture of Adam with a steel girder embedded in his head.
Yeah, but, I mean, can you just claim that you've had something banned if it's never been banned? Because basically what they may have done, right? Mm. Best case scenario, the Saw poster people submitted their design and it was not acceptable. It didn't comply with the correct standards, right?
So they said, can you go back and... it to be banned, though.
Yeah, but no one ever said, oh, no, this is going to be... We've
probably
banned this.
Yeah, the ASA went, no, of course you can't put that up. Don't be silly. Wicked! Banned!
Banned. You can just claim that it's been banned. Yeah. Because obviously it's to drive people to their website where they can see the uncensored version.
Website.
It's worked on cornballs.
I'm off. I'm going.
Because otherwise you can just claim anything.
I want to know what I'm not allowed to see. I'm falling into their trap.
You're completely
I
falling
think you've
into
got
it.
A Jane Thorin's mouth.
I think it looks to me like the cover of that Monty Python album with all the guts falling out, you know, where they've got like a slash across it.
Right.
Why didn't they ban that one?
Tell you what, I'm going to find out
banned.
And then we'll tell you and then no one need worry.
I don't believe
it. Need bother seeing
banned.
The film.
They should ban the film.
Should ban you.
Ban you more like.
Stupid.
Yes, I win. Let's play some more music now. Oh, this is Emmy the Great. Have you heard of Emmy the Great?
No.
I've seen her on YouTube. She's adorable.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to look at her as well.
And she's a kind of talented... she's quite posh.
That's no bad thing.
But she seems like a precociously intelligent and beautiful young woman. And she's got folk chops on her with a winning way with an odd lyric. And this track is called We Almost Had a Baby.
So I'm here on the Saw 5 website. It's a restricted site. Now, no one actually honours these restriction things, do they?
He's got a mask made of a person's face!
Made of his own face, because he died in the last one, didn't he? And now somehow he's
come
back.
Have you actually seen it?
No, I skipped the last one, but I read somewhere. It's saying, enter restricted site. First name? Buffalo.
Enter restricted
Last
site.
Name
What's that all about?
Bill.
Are they just trying to pretend that it's so scary
yes.
and terrifying?
House or PO box
you
number?
You need to pointlessly enter your name.
666. Zip code 666. When were you born? The 6th of the 6th, 1966. Do they have that? Let's have a look. 48, 50. Sorry, this is going to be amazing, though, because now none of us have to see the film Saw 5. Enter.
Enter.
Ooh, it's forbidden me with my satanic address.
What?
I'm going to put in my real one. Better talk about something else.
Why do you have to put it? Well, they're going to just send you Saw stuff now, aren't they?
Let's send the BBC sort of stuff. Joseph?
Don't need more junk mail. It's got a mask made out of a face!
Last name Cornish.
Okay. So, listeners, a couple of people were asking if the pirate jingles, the pirate interruptions that Garth and myself did a few weeks back were available as ringtones. There's a few of them up on the BBC Six Music Adam and Joe site at the moment, and some people were asking for the cake one to be put up there as well. Let's just have a little reminder of what that sounded like. This was just to remind you, Garth and I were doing the kind of little snatches of pirate radio that sometimes interrupt your radio listening if you're listening to analog radio that you don't get on digital. We wanted to bring the analog experience into the digital world. And so while you're listening and kind of crossing bandwidths in your car every now and again, you get snatches of this kind of thing.
What a nice bit of cake now.
Yo, what a cake, what a nice bit of cake.
Nice little bit of cake.
Bit of rich chocolate cake.
Bit of tea with a cake now.
So we were going to put that on the website, but I've actually finished, well, I haven't finished it, but I've done like a slightly longer version of the slice of cake pirate thing there. And I'm going to put that on probably my blog sometime this week, but there'll be a link from the Six Music website to that. And it's adam-buxton.co.uk is where you can find it, or of course go through the Six Music website to find that extended pirate cake interruption.
It's loading
sometime this week. Joe has managed to crack the source
94%. Oh,
what's happening?
There's a splat of blood.
Uh-huh.
It says skip. I'm gonna skip.
And this is the American site, right? It says
it's banned. No, this I had to go through to the British one.
So it's got a trailer for Saw
it's
on there.
It's banned.
It's all banned.
Well, it doesn't.
Where's
have
the poster?
Banned.
You just
want to
see the poster.
The poster.
For goodness.
It's got a
sake.
Gallery.
It's the worst day of my life.
They can't do that and then not have the poster image.
I mean, that's outrageous, isn't it? The good folks from Saw, you would think they would.
I want to be shocked. Oh, ooh.
Ooh, it's got, he's been dear. Strapped to a table, he's punching himself, that looks awful. Why is he there? Why is he in that nutty room?
He's not happy at all.
He, you know, he would benefit from a little bit of the nutty room music.
Oh, that should be banned. Oh my God.
That should be banned, it's a load of old rubbers. Okay, Joe, here's a free play. Now, this is yours. Bobo.
Is it?
Bobo Dessert.
Oh, yes. I meant to play this earlier in the show, really. I play this every now and then. This is a reggae song about the joys of having a cup of tea. So if you're boiling a cup of tea, or if you enjoy tea, or if you feel like now's a good moment maybe to have some tea, then you'll enjoy this song. I'm not sure it's conventional tea they're celebrating in the song.
Right, right.
It could be herbal
fun
tea. But anyway, this is a fun song about tea by Bobo Dessert and Luciano. There we go. That's Bobo Dessert and Luciano with Cup of Tea. We're Adam and Joe. Thank you very much for listening to us for the last few hours. Thanks to everyone who's texted and also emailed. Don't forget to vote for your Song Wars song. It's looking like it's gonna be a walkover.
You reckon?
No. Yeah. No hope for the corns.
No.
I might as well not have bothered. But we'll see what happens. Who knows? we'll be back at the same time next week. Liz Kershaw's coming up next.
Hey, we're going to a Halloween party next
We've
week.
We've got a big Halloween party coming up.
Can we name drop it?
No, we can't talk about it. I'll tell you why
really?
Afterwards.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
So then
we'll be able to
about
talk
that.
About it afterwards.
Possibly. I'll tell you why in a second.
Tell me why in a second.
When we got off the air.
Tell me why.
Anything else to say?
Yeah, don't forget to download the podcast, listeners.
Yes.
In addition to our scary songs, you will also be able to hear as a little podcast extra the moment from last week when Joe completely
well,
dried.
Well, that's dependent
Have
on
we not
me
decided
listening
that?
To it
oh,
and
come
just
on.
Deciding whether
it
I want
didn't reflect
it living
badly
forever.
On you.
Be the judge of that. I might want it erased from history.
It was a sweet moment.
Was it?
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
Didn't feel very sweet.
A little chink in the armour. It's nice to have a few chinks in the armour.
I'm human.
Exactly.
I'm only human.
I'm a human.
I'm not the brilliant, flawless person that everyone thought I was.
Exactly. So I think you'll almost certainly be able to hear that moment on the podcast, which you can download. I don't know, sometimes it's even Saturday night, but you'll definitely be able to do it
5 o'clock tonight, apparently.
Yeah.
Wow, it's good work. Our producer there, James.
Top work.
Thanks for listening anyway. We'll see you next week. We're leaving you with the Shins with So Says I.
Oh, yeah, and listen, folks, sorry not to go straight into that track, Joe, and rather ruin your flow. That was brilliantly done.
Thanks, mate.
Don't forget to listen to Jarvis Cocker tomorrow. He's standing in for Stephen Merchant. That'll be amazing. I wish I could meet Jarvis Cocker.
Really?
I almost feel like hanging around just to...
I want to meet Stephen Merchant.
He's pretty amazing as well. Mm. Both very tall.
He's stuck in America working with The Rock.
Right.
So I hear.
What, the wrestler or Chris Rock?
The wrestler.
Really? Yeah. That doesn't sound fun.
He's in a rock film.
Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw as well, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening. Take care. Bye.
Bye.